maybe because I'm super distractible, I always have a big book happening. Mm-hmm. And then I have a bunch of recess books, like for when like I don't feel like focusing on the big heavy thing. And so I love to sort of go each day where my energy and my interest follows. And weirdly or not, I mean, more of my recess books have gotten published than these big tomes.
This is Finding the Throughline, the show that gives you inside access to honest conversations about the creative process. I'm Kate Hanley. This week, I am interviewing Sonja Huber. Sonja is a prolific and award-winning writer in many genres, but primarily in creative nonfiction. Her book of essays on chronic pain, Pain Woman Takes Your Keys, and Other Essays from a Nervous System, was named by the New Statesman as a best book of 2018. Her other books include Love and Industry, a Midwestern workbook, which came out in 2023, Voice First, a Writer's Manifesto, which came out in 2022, and Supremely Tiny Acts, a Memoir in a Day, which came out in 2021. Phew! Her shorter work has been published in the New York Times and the Washington Post, and her essays have been included in the Best American Essays series numerous times. Sonja is also a professor in the Department of English at Fairfield University and in the Fairfield Low Residency MFA program. And Sonja's an activist working to support causes related to chronic pain and disability. Despite all these places where Sonja's work has appeared, I found her on Substack, where she publishes a newsletter called Nuts and Bolts with Sonja. Her recent series of posts about farm sitting and her interactions with the animals on this farm have really helped me get through the month of March when I'm ready for winter to be over, but Mother Nature so often has other plans, at least here in the Northeast. Thank you for being here, Sonja.
Definitely. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
I'm going to give you a quick lay of the land as well as our listeners. I'm going to be asking you questions in three basic categories. Practical matters, inner stuff, for lack of a better term, and what's coming up. So for folks who listen to the free version of this podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts and all podcast players, I really appreciate you and welcome you and listen for free as long as you want. Each category of questions is going to be released in its own episode, and it's going to have some ads sprinkled in to keep the lights on. But if you would like to skip the ads, if you just can't stand this sponsorship message coming through, you can become a paid subscriber to my Substack at katehanley.substack.com, and I'll send you the full interview with no ads each week. It's $5 a month and a great investment in your own creativity. Okay, that's my spiel. Let's jump in. So, Sonja, you do a lot of different kinds of work, and this is a very big open-ended question. Feel free to take it wherever you'd like. What drew you to the work that you're doing currently?
I love pursuing a bunch of different questions. And usually it's something that I'm ruminating about and that I can't necessarily get out of my head. So I use different writing projects, I guess, as sort of a container for my both my questions and curiosity and maybe my anxieties.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So right now I'm always writing two or three books at a time, and many of them don't become books. They sort of fold into each other, but they're big sort of landing strips.
That is so cool. Because I think that there can be this kind of writing advice that you just have to sort of focus on one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And so can you talk about that? Like,
definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And I've seen like quotes from different writers who have said, like, I refuse to go on to the next idea. And maybe because I'm super distractible, I always have a big book happening. Mm-hmm. And then I have a bunch of recess books, like for when like I don't feel like focusing on the big heavy thing. And so I love to sort of go each day where my energy and my interest follows. And weirdly or not, I mean, more of my recess books have gotten published than these big tomes. Mm. So, I mean, that I think that is also telling me something about when I'm following the energy to like really to dive into the things that might at first glance seem to be tangents. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, and I, you know, I've, at first I definitely felt as though my distractibility and my sort of wool gathering was a detriment rather than an asset. But then the more I started to delve into the nature of the essay, which is all about the tangent, the more I realized that I'm just collecting a storehouse of possible future ideas.
Mm. I find that very exciting and very freeing. Thank you. This isn't on the list of questions that I provided you in the beginning, but I'm curious, how did you get started? Like, what was your first gig where you saw that this was a viable path?
Well, it's so weird. Like, given the era that I grew up in, which was like the 70s and 80s, like, I didn't officially read many essays. But my mom had like Irma Bombeck and Dave Barry, right? Like sort of around the house, like library books. And so like, I really did love humor writing, occasional columns, you know, that kind of thing. I had written since I was little. And I also probably from my bibliography, it's easy to see that I like to make recommendations about the world and how I think things should be. So I started for our very small local paper writing a column when I was in like eighth grade, I think. And I like that kind of sort of editorial essay form. I was doing that for a long time, but I didn't actually learn about creative nonfiction until I was in grad school for journalism at the Ohio State University. And so I was in this program for mid-career journalists, this fellowship program. And all the journalists were saying like, oh, you got to go over to English and take this creative nonfiction class. And I was like, what is that even? But then, and that was with Bill Rohrbach, who's a well-known writer. And as soon as I started that class, like my head blew open. I was like, this is what I've been looking for. This is it. So yeah, that's when I really officially fell in love with the form.
Oh, cool. I mean, you've been at this a while, right? And you've had a writing career with longevity. You started in the eighth grade writing for your paper. That's amazing. I'm curious. Oh God, I say I'm curious so much. I listen back to every one of my...
Well, isn't it great though? That's the best thing.
I think I'm going to have to make myself a t-shirt that just says, I'm curious. How do you keep going? How do you stay connected and like continue into the future?
I read a ton, like most people, I think, who are like writers. And that really makes me always feel like I'm in an ever-expanding conversation as opposed to just like hammering away at my own ideas. Mm. Like a lot of what I do is incorporating research or responding to other things and kind of mulling things over and reframing. And that for me is real fuel. And then I think teaching is just so wonderful because I feel like I learn as much as from my students as they hopefully do from me. And I'm always thinking, you know, their energy then gives me more questions with which to go back into the writing. So, yeah.
Are there aspects of being a writer, a professional writer, that came more easily than you expected?
Let's see. I'm thinking of the things that were like harder.
Well, wait, I want to ask you about that too. So if you want to start there, that's fine.
I think the easier thing is the keeping going and the actual act of like writing a book. And I'm not saying that that's easy, but I have found that like the doing a tiny chunk every day really adds up over time, even though each day it feels like either nothing or like I'm moving backwards. But like, it's just been interesting to see over the years how much tiny steps add up to bigger works.
Yeah.
That's been a really cool thing to like sort of get to experience and then to have confidence in over time.
Mm-hmm. And what about the stuff that surprised you because it was more difficult?
I mean, I never really expected to make money with writing, but you know, I teach full time. And so I think, like, for example, you had mentioned, I have been watching goats recently as like a side gig. And you can make as much money watching goats for a month as you can landing a pitch and writing an intensively researched magazine piece. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like the pay for writers has not kept up with other fields. And I think people are often surprised at, like, you know, how little money a book can make. Like, I don't, you know, you can put in years worth of labor, and then it's not the kind of thing where it pays according to that amount of work.
Right.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Sonia, are there habits, practices, or attitudes that help you stay creative, productive, curious?
Yeah, definitely. So I think one thing that's most important to me is that, like, when I sit down at my computer every day, I have zero standards. Like, I have no minimum word count. All I have to do is sort of sit here. And sitting here can mean, like, checking social media, staring out the window. I try very hard to, like, not judge at all my output. And mm-hmm. so I think that's part of the secret to, like, why I feel like I have a healthy relationship with my writing. Like, it doesn't feel like a place where I'm judging myself or where, like, I'm disappointed at what I'm doing, because I just don't measure it in the short term. Yeah, I think that's probably my biggest one. And so then I can sort of sit down, and if I'm feeling crappy or feeling uninspired, like, I don't ever do the thing where I'm like, oh, what if I'm not really a writer because I'm not writing?
Mm-hmm. That's genius.
It's just sort of like, oh, you know, I was inspired really early on by this book by an author named Brenda Uland, If You Want to Write. I don't know if, have you heard of that?
I have heard of it. I haven't read it. I don't even know where I heard of it, but it's definitely...
It's really great. She's like a Minnesotan, and she wrote this in, like, I think the 20s or the 30s.
No.
And basically it's like sort of her account of teaching a writing class, like, I think it's some community education center. And she's all about enthusiasm and, like, protecting the relationship with the writing. And so it's all about, like, go towards the joy and energy. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think that set me on the right path to be like, don't output, measure, quantify your relationship with your writing.
Oh, cool. Well, it's time for you to sit down and follow the energy or scroll on social media or whatever. Is there a certain time of day? Where are you? What are the, like, practical structures that you have around that, if any?
Awesome. I love this question. So it's always like peak caffeine. So, like, and I have the lucky setup to where because I teach and I can set my own hours, I teach in the afternoon. And so, like, I'm always trying to, like, I would say around 7 to 8 a.m. is, like, my peak writing time. So I only do about an hour a day. If I'm really getting into it, I'll do a little more. Sit down for an hour. Sometimes it's even less than that. And I write actually in my basement hallway because we just didn't have another room that was working for me. And it's actually fine. It's like an office. And yeah, so I sit down, and the main thing that I do is I notice that, and again, this is like the result of reading a lot of other people about writing process, but basically, like, I sit down and I know that even if I feel uninspired, if I give it like 10 minutes, like, I'll get bored enough to start picking at something. And that's all that I need to do. It's just kind of like, and sometimes I'll go through, I've got like a huge file of like writing ideas, and I keep them in this program called Evernote, which is free. It's like a big virtual journal. And so I just go through those if I'm looking for a topic. But a lot of time I'll open up one of several book files and I keep those in Scrivener. And then I just sort of, you know, my goal is to just like slightly untangle a knot somewhere. So I just think of it as a series of puzzles as opposed to like I am writing a book. Trying to unsnarl one tiny knot that I've made for myself.
Oh, I love that. So creativity is one thing. And then there's like the rest of life. Are there habits or practices or attitudes that help you just be in a good place to take care of yourself?
Oh gosh, this is like the big thing, right? This is the big, big thing. Yeah. I mean, I will say that I really believe in the power of habit. I've sort of engineered my life kind of by accident so that I really need to write to process like emotionally. And so that's part of my impetus for sitting down. So people will often say to me, oh, you know, you're so productive or you must be so disciplined to write every day. And it's really just that I need it like the way someone who loves to run might need running. So for me, it's if the rest of my life is stressful, which it has been on and off through the years, like anybody's, writing is like where I get to concentrate and it takes me out of my present situation, whatever that might be. And I've written about a lot about chronic pain. So writing is also the one extended moment where I usually don't feel physical pain just because of the concentration. And that means too that like I think that plays hand in hand with this idea that I don't want to be tracking my outputs, because sometimes I'm really just venting, you know, or I'm like sort of journal writing, or I'm trying to make the leap between writing about something in my own life that's troubling me and then thinking about how that might engage like with readers at some later date. So yeah, like writing is above all, it's like a solace to me and a form of escape. So that means like I have a million and one like interests. And so like if something is stressful, like, gosh, I just want to research octopuses. So that's like fun. Like I get to have my fun. And it's sort of like, let's start the day with coffee and octopuses, shall we? Like that's the best.
Totally. Well, I have to just ask. I mean, if you're just venting and processing and having fun and exploring, you mentioned that you use Scrivener and you mentioned that you use Evernote. This is a very technical, nitpicky question, but how are you keeping those files sort of organized so that you, or I don't know, just what does that look like? Because I feel like I write things all different places and then I'm like, where did I put that? And I have no idea.
Oh my God, totally. Same with me. I'm constantly actually like searching my Evernote or searching my Scrivener. I'll make a Scrivener file if something might be a book. And then I'll sort of import stuff in there and kind of move stuff around. Like I am a very non-linear person. So I really think like if I didn't have the command F, I would not be able to write anything. But yeah, so it does involve a lot of like sort of moving thoughts and documents around. But I remember like when I wrote my first book, it was just a Word document. And that was sheer chaos for me because it's just like a lot of scrolling.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, so I put together my Scrivener and Evernote in a way so that it's very nonlinear. And then I also do a lot of like drawing of diagrams, like so that like kind of an outline, but more of like a bubble chart to sort of see how things connect. So yeah, so I end up doing a lot of visual stuff, especially when I'm working on like the structure of an idea. Yeah, but it's still quite a mess.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our questions on the practicalities of how Sonia got to where she is today and how she gets her work done. Coming up in the next Finding the Throughline episode, I'm going to ask Sonia about the mindset side of writing, asking her things like what her inner critic loves to tell her and mm-hmm. what collective beliefs she wishes we would all wake up from. Stay tuned for a preview of that episode just after the credits, and we will see you on Wednesday. Finding the Throughline airs one interview per week, broken up into three episodes that come out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free. Skip the ads and get each interview in one longer episode by becoming a paid subscriber at katehanley.substack.com. Even if you aren't ready to get out your wallet just yet, become a free subscriber at katehanley.substack.com and receive the full show notes with links to everything my guests and I cover. However you listen, thank you. Finding the Throughline is edited by Sound Advice Strategies. Connect with me on Instagram at Kate Hanley Author. Here's a little preview of what's to come in part two of this interview.
With the first book that was about my mom's family, my mom ended up saying, you know, like, you gave me back my father in a way that I didn't even know. Like, I didn't know much about his life and you gave him to me. And like, that's like the biggest reward of my writing career.
I'm Kate Hanley, and this is Finding the Throughline. More to come on Wednesday.